Okay, this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your NCS for this session is KJ4WKD. My name is Jim, and I'm located in Greensboro, North Carolina. Your program host and moderator is Suzanne, N1SUZ, located in Danbury, Connecticut. Suzanne is suffering from bronchitis tonight, but being the trooper that she is here with us, and hopefully she will her voice will hold for us, and looking forward to a good program. Tonight's TNT is entitled Saving Lives with CPR. Suzanne will tell us more about that when she opens the program and introduces tonight's special guest. At this point, let me turn the forum over to Suzanne and allow her to begin the presentation. N1SUZ, Suzanne, KJ4WKD, this is it's all yours.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is November 1, Sierra Uniform Zulu. My name is Suzanne. And thank you, Jim, for opening tonight's program, which, as you said, was about saving lives with CPR. Tonight, we have a special guest on board, Cindy Casavecchia, a certified American Heart Association CPR trainer, who is going to talk to us about something everyone should learn how to do, CPR, or cardiopulmonary resuscitation. No need to be intimidated by learning how to do it. It's a simple technique that, if you know, could help you save the life of someone you know and even someone you don't know. Here's a little background on CPR. About 92% of sudden cardiac arrest victims die before reaching the hospital, but statistics prove that if more people knew CPR, more lives could be saved. Immediate CPR can double or even triple a victim's chance of survival. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, is an emergency procedure which is performed in an effort to manually preserve intact brain function until further measures are taken to restore spontaneous blood circulation and breathing in a person in cardiac arrest. It's indicated in those who are unresponsive with no breathing or abnormal breathing. CPR involves chest compressions at least 2 inches deep and at a rate of at least 100 per minute in an effort to create artificial circulation by manually pumping blood through the heart. In addition, the rescuer may provide breaths by either exhaling into the subject's mouth or utilizing a device that pushes air into the subject's lungs. CPR's main purpose is to restore partial flow of oxygenated blood to the brain and heart. The object is to delay tissue death and to extend the brief window of opportunity for a successful resuscitation without permanent brain damage. And with all that said, let's give Cindy a warm welcome. We will be talking about CPR and life-saving techniques, but Cindy is also here to answer any questions you may have on CPR or about learning CPR, plus any first aid questions, too. So don't hesitate to come aboard when we open the floor up for questions. Well, thank you, Cindy, for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and talk to South Cars members about your job and CPR. Maybe you can tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you came about becoming a CPR trainer.
Hi, Suzanne. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm actually very excited. I'm very excited to be showing you CPR tonight. I actually came about this through a work opportunity. I am a certified personal trainer. I am a certified fitness instructor. I am a certified kickbox instructor. So the opportunity came up to be a certified CPR instructor, and I thought, you know what, let's just add that to the repertoire, something that I'm interested in. And it's a good skill to know. Like you said, you have a chance to save someone's life. You could save someone's life today. So I'm excited to be here and let you know what I know.
Well, thanks very much, Cindy. Let me drop it here for a second. You know, I think it's amazing, Cindy, that it took until 1960 for CPR to officially develop and instituted, and that it was only then that a standardized program was developed by the American Heart Association that provided CPR training and encouraged the use of CPR by the general public. And you've been certified by the American Heart Association, right, Cindy?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Do you think everyone should learn CPR, and can anyone learn CPR?
Absolutely, absolutely. Everybody should learn CPR. The basics of CPR, it's cardiopulmonary resuscitation, like you said, chest compressions. You can save someone's life, and it is simple to learn. As a matter of fact, I believe you're going to learn tonight.
Yes, I am going to get recertified on the air.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, now, what types of CPR are there?
There's adult CPR, there's child CPR, and there's infant CPR. There are some differences in all three, and we'll cover those shortly.
Okay, let's break here for a quick second. Okay, obviously adult CPR is for adults, but what are the differences between child and infant? What are the age restrictions?
A child is considered under the age of 12 or if they have reached puberty, but if you don't know, if you come across a child, I mean, sometimes, you know, let's be honest, kids look older than they are, they're bigger than their age group, but if you're in doubt, treat them as an adult. And an infant is clearly an infant, you know, it's a baby,
right.
As opposed to a walking, talking, you know, toddler, older child.
Okay, and what are basically the difference between the adult CPR and child CPR?
The adult CPR is still, it's 30 compressions, 2 breaths, at a depth of 2 inches each, I mean 2 inches deep. Yeah, child is the same, and the infant, it is 1.5-inch chest compressions. So that's the only difference.
So they really made it easier to learn how to perform CPR.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Before it was a lot
more complicated.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
So now, what is ABC or CAB? That's what American Heart Association generally calls their CPR program, right?
Right. It's airway, breathing, and compression.
Okay.
So you would check the airway to make sure that the airway is clear. I'll show you and demonstrate a chin lift and tilt to clear the airway. Breathing for the person, rescue breaths, and chest compressions are obviously the component of CPR.
Very good.
Why?
Now we know that CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation, but when I was researching about CPR, I came across something called ECC. Can you tell us what ECC is?
It stands for Emergency Cardiovascular Care. That's all I can tell you about
it.
I think it is just that the hands-on hands-only method.
All right. Yeah. Tell us about the hands-only method. What involves the hands-only method of CPR?
Okay. So many people are reluctant to give the rescue breaths or that manual mouth resuscitation, whether they're afraid of disease, whether they're afraid that they're not going to be able to do it right. So through their research, American Heart Association has determined that more people would be willing to help someone if they didn't have to perform those breaths. And chances of survival are good. So if you physically see an adult fall to the ground, you check the scene, make sure he wasn't struck by lightning or stepped on an electrical cord, run over, ask them, are you okay, are you all right, and immediately call for 911. Start chest compressions and continue chest compressions. So call, start compressing, and you have a better chance of their survival. So definitely call 911, start chest compressions.
And is there any, is it any better to do just the compressions? Is there any difference between doing the whole CPR or is hand only as effective?
It is as effective, but if you can provide rescue breaths, if you know how to do it, and if you're confident, then you should, because adding oxygenated blood through, you know, the lungs is a good idea to give them breath, to give them air, yes, if they're not breathing. But call 911 and press hard and fast. That's the new rule of thumb.
Hard and fast.
Yes. Right. Yes, absolutely.
And we'll be going over later the exact steps.
Yes.
Not that it's as effective to learn over the air, but at least we'll be giving everybody the basics so that they'll know just in case. So let me break here really quick. All right. At this time, I'd like to open it up to the floor. If anybody has any questions for Cindy so far about the CPR, what we've talked about, or anything in particular you'd like to know that we should be covering. So if anybody would like to come aboard and ask any questions, please come now with your suffix only, please.
WKD.
Victor, Queen Victor.
Okay. The net recognizes Whiskey Quebec Delta, and Victor, Queen Victor. Jim, you're first. Come on aboard.
Oh, thank you, Susie. Kilo Juliet 4, Whiskey Kilo Delta here. I do have one question, and this has been bugging me since I read some of the material on CPR, hopefully in preparation for my listening experience tonight. I've heard you mention oxygenated blood a number of times, and and I'm hearing you talk about not necessarily doing the giving the breaths. So my question, what is confusing me, is how does the blood get oxygenated if the lungs are not filled, or if they're not exhaling and inhaling, whether manually or whatever? I'm just really confused about that. I guess I'll turn that one to Cindy, Susie, and thank you. Back to Med Control.
Actually, Jim, you know, just like when you hold your breath if you're swimming underwater, your body holds oxygen, and your brain can, you know, survive off of that oxygen, but the main idea of CPR is to keep the blood moving. You want to circulate the blood from the brain to the heart, and et cetera, to keep the blood circulating. So there is oxygen in the blood, and just by doing the hands only is beneficial.
Thanks, Cindy. Gotcha. Okay, so the oxygen is already there and in the blood, and it's just getting it to the brain so you don't have tissue damage. Thanks a lot, Susie. Back to you, KJ4WKE, back to N1SUZ.
Oh, very good, Jim, and thanks for the question. And we encourage everybody to ask questions tonight. That's why Cindy's here. She's the expert. She's been a CPR trainer for quite some time, and I know her, and she's a pretty nice person. She'll be able to answer.
I have my shirt on tonight.
Yes, and she has her American Heart Association shirt on special for everybody here tonight.
I do.
So let me break with you, Jim, and I'm going to pick up Victor Queen Victor. Chris, come on aboard with your question or comment for Cindy.
Well, Susan, good evening, and Cindy, hello to you. My name is Chris, KB3 Victor Queen Victor down here in, up here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We could ask whether Michael Jackson got good CPR laying on a bouncy bed. But the question, I know that a lot of companies in their headquarters, they train the people. I think airline professionals are trained likewise. What's become more commonplace are the zapper machines to try to restart the heart. Is there a procedure on whether or not you do CPR, which deals with the heart that's not doing beating, and how would you alternate if you had can't think of the name of the machine, but it's a common machine? So, Cindy, that's the question for KB3VQZ.
Hi, Chris. Actually, your best hope of survival is the AED machine. That's the automated automated external defibrillator. And we will be covering that. When you should scream, someone help me, call 911. You're only doing CPR to help the person or to attempt to resuscitate them until medical professionals arrive and they will have that AED machine. That is your first and foremost. If you have that, use that first. Absolutely, without a doubt. That's what I'm hoping for. If I ever hit the deck, find the AED machine, because that's gonna actually help you.
Back to you, Chris.
Great answer, Cindy. Thank you. I'm gonna be all ears for this whole session. Back to Net Control.
Thank you, Chris.
And thanks, Chris. And it brings up a good topic. Besides learning CPR, in a lot of places, like Chris, you said, including companies, hotels, and public places, you can find hanging on a wall a device called an AED, which is, as Cindy said, an automated external defibrillator. Now, Cindy, what is an AED? How does it work, and can anyone operate it without ever having done so before?
Absolutely. Anyone can operate it. They are, as you will see, we're going to demonstrate. I have the trainer here, so there's no electricity in it, and our mannequin, so that we can demonstrate. But anyone can use one. They're basically self-explanatory. You open it, take it down from the wall, turn it on, and it should lead you step by step where to place the pads, and it will give a jolt of electricity to restart someone's heart.
And it's a woman's voice or somebody's voice that actually instructs you from the machine.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, step by step.
Okay, and we're going to demonstrate that, as Cindy said, which is pretty exciting because I've never actually worked one before.
I'm glad it doesn't have your electricity
in
it.
We don't need that.
It's just the trainer.
But before we go into the basic steps for CPR, which is what we're going to do, I read that every 5 years, the AHA, or the American Heart Association, guidelines for CPR in emergency cardiac care are reviewed. Can you tell us why the guidelines for CPR may change, and why did the CPR steps change from ABC to CAB recently?
The guidelines are reviewed and improved and updated to improve survival rates. American Heart Association establishes these guidelines with the cooperation of other organizations, peer-reviewed studies, and other systematic evidence-based study and review.
Oh, very good. In 2010, the CPR guidelines rearranged the order of the CPR steps from ABC, which stands for airway and breathing,
right,
first, followed by chest compressions, to chest compressions first. Because just like you can hold your breath for a minute or two without having brain damage,
yes,
victims of cardiac arrest can too, right?
Yes, exactly.
And that's really the point.
Yes.
You want to exactly get that blood flowing.
Yes, get the blood flowing first, yep.
All right, very good. When rescuers are worried about opening the airway and making an adequate seal, plus possibly digging for a CPR mask out of a purse or a briefcase, the delay can be significant. And all that extra time is getting in the way of real help. And I guess that's the point of doing
it. Yes, hands only.
Hands
yep.
only.
Yep.
Okay. Let me break here and ask if anyone else has any questions. If you do, Cindy's here. And as before we go on, let me open the floor for anybody who'd like to ask her anything. This is N1SUZN, and come aboard with your suffix only, please.
Six, Victor.
Sierra United November.
Okay, the net recognizes Gordon, KY6V, and Kathy, K6SUN. Gordon, come on aboard.
Hey, thank you very much, Susie, and good evening to you, Cindy. Thank you very, very much for joining our organization here this evening. As you heard, my name is Gordon, and I'm talking to you from Central Florida, a little bit inland from Daytona Beach. Cindy, I wonder if you would just take a moment to maybe clarify a little deeper on the exact positioning of your hands on the body while performing the CPR. Do I understand correctly? It is a location just about at the bottom of your rib cage where the two rib cages come together. And if that is correct, may I ask your hand position? Do you fold your hands together and do this manipulation with the palms of your hand, the knuckles of your fingers, or the end of your nose, Cindy? Over.
The end of your nose, eh? Gordon, thank you very much for your question. You want to make sure that the person is lying on their back, hopefully on a firm, hard surface. I know someone brought up earlier whether or not Michael Jackson was on a bed or a hard surface. But, yeah, if possible, on a flat surface. You move the clothes out of the way. And you want to put your hand, the heel of your hand, on the lower half of the breastbone. So put the heel of your other hand on top of the first hand. And you will clasp your fingers around the lower hand. So I hope I'm explaining that well. So it's the heel of one hand on the lower half of the breastbone with your other hand on top, and you can curl, you do not have to, but you can curl your fingers over, and you press with the heel of your hand.
All right, I've got the picture. Thank you very much, Cindy. One last thing, and then I'll let you turn it back over to Susie. With your talent and training in other areas, you know, we, from time to time, have a lot of trouble with this pretty lady, and I'm talking about Suzanne. If you ever start to train her in kickboxing, will you warn us beforehand, please? Over.
Absolutely. I will give you a heads up. Absolutely.
She tried to get me into one of her kickboxing
yes,
classes.
Yes, she's run with me before.
Yeah.
She does fine.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. Thanks for your question, too. And I'll break with you, and let me pick up Kathy, K6SUN. Kathy, come on aboard.
Well, thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Cindy, for doing this tonight. And it brings back, I was a scuba diver back in 2006, 2007. I took the CPR and the first aid to mainly become certified as a rescue, get my certification for rescue. And I went to take the certification classes here in Vero Beach. It was very interesting. Had a lot of fun with the mannequins and the AED. And and learned a great deal. Unfortunately, I let it lapse. And I am a school teacher here in Fort Pierce, Florida. And a lot of times they are asking for us, anybody that's certified, and I let it lapse, which I'm sorry about. But I just wanted to make that comment that our school districts are looking for anybody that's certified to help out the nurse in case we have problems. But it was quite an interesting training, and you're doing a great session tonight, and maybe I'll go back and get recertified again. And I just wanted to make that comment that I think it is something everyone should learn how to do. With the mannequins, and we did it with a partner, It's very informative, and I just want to thank you for doing this tonight, both you, Suzanne, and Cindy, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'll turn it back to you, Suzanne.
Kathy, hi, this is Cindy. Thank you so much for your comment. I'm surprised that teachers are not required to keep current in their CPR certification. And I'm curious, do they have an AED machine available in your school? Because I know a lot of school districts, they're required in a lot of public places, libraries, gymnasiums, definitely, stadiums. So I'm just curious if they have the AED machine.
Yes, Cindy, I believe they do. We have a nurse that's on duty in our school. I teach in alternative ed, and she's available there all the time, and she has the machine, I believe. But they're always looking for anyone that's certified to help out in case there is help needed. But they don't require it. They ask, you know, if you'd like to do it. They'll most of the times in the school districts, they'll offer to do it for free if you want to recertify. And they do this every year at the beginning of the school year. And somehow I'm always not there when they're doing it. But I want to repeat to everyone, it's something very good to have. If you're married, you have someone in your life, it's always good to know in case they stop breathing or they choke. We also learned that, and you may want to go over that to Cindy. I can't remember the method, but if they're choking, the Hylum maneuver, I think it is called, and if they're choking on something, which quite often we sometimes do, even if it's a pill or maybe it's a bone. But maybe that's something you can go over, how that is done. That was quite entertaining for me. I enjoyed that. And I'll turn it back to you, Suzanne and Cindy, and once again, thank you.
Well, Kathy, I'm really glad that you brought up the choking, because tonight Cindy and I actually talked about something that she had done. The CPR certification that we normally get also includes first aid training. It's part of the whole course. And what Cindy was telling me about is an incident that she had recently. So let me break here for a second, and then we'll come back with Cindy, and she can tell her story about her saving someone's life recently. Hi. Oh, I just told this story a little while ago to Suzanne, but recently, actually just a few weeks ago, I was at a baby shower, and someone had their young son there, 2.5 years old, and the little guy put a whole munchkin in his mouth and tried to swallow it. So he started with the classic cough, 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 and then nothing. So the silence was more terrifying than anything, and he ran around from adult to adult. His father ended up picking him up and just holding him out in front of himself and running around in circles. When I realized what happened, the mother was just screaming, and I was able to get to him and put him over my knee and was able to pat him on the back and help him remove the munchkin. So it was terrifying, but it was gratifying, I have to say, because I knew what to do, and when everybody else was screaming and running around, I was able to get to him and to save his life. So.
Well, thank you, Cindy, for sharing that. Okay, let's talk briefly about choking and what to do when somebody's choking. Cindy, take it away.
Well, you know, when a person can't breathe, or if they're coughing and they're making noise, even a gasping, they're able to get some air through. So you have to imagine that the throat is not fully closed. But it's an indicator. If somebody cannot talk and they're just with their eyes will be bugged out, maybe their hands will be on their throat, they're definitely signs of choking. So you need to give abdominal thrusts until the object is removed. And to do that, you clasp one hand with the other, get behind the victim if possible, and you're going to thrust upwards with your thumb into the diaphragm and lift and lift and lift until the article is released.
And if you are the choking victim, what is the sign to tell everybody? There's like a national, international sign of telling somebody you're choking?
Yeah, your hand on your throat, basically. Okay. You would run to someone with that. Your hand on your throat.
All right, very good. Let me break here a second. Okay. Now that we've covered the Heimlich maneuver, let me just briefly throw it back to the floor and see if anyone has any questions about that before we go on, and we'll start getting into the CPR section and actually what we do in order to perform CPR. So before we do that, let me throw it back to the floor, and if anyone has any questions for Cindy or any comments, please come aboard now with your suffix only, please.
Hotel Uniform Mike.
Sierra United November once again.
All right, the net recognizes N5HUM, Scott, and K6SUN, Kathy. First, let's go to Scott. Scott, come on aboard with your comments or questions for Cindy.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I just had a question there. What if you are by yourself eating dinner and you start choking? Is there a way to administer the Heimlich maneuver to yourself? And that's it. Great topic this evening. I'm loving it. All right, back to you. N5HUM.
Hi, Scott. Yes, that's a very good question. And yes, what you would do would attempt to put yourself over a chair or a firm surface such as the back of a chair and attempt to perform the Heimlich maneuver yourself with thrust up through the diaphragm until the object is dislodged.
Would you actually do that with your hands, Cindy, or would you just
no,
be using
on,
the force
on,
of the chair?
No, on the chair, the force of the chair, exactly, okay. Yep.
All right, Scott, how's that answer your question?
Very good, yeah, that's kind of what I figured, but I just wanted to make sure that's what I would have done. I would have just thrown myself down there and tried to dislodge it, but yes, that's what I figured, but I wanted to get that out there. Very good, thank you very much, and y'all are doing a great job. Thanks again. N5HUM, back to net.
Okay, Scott, I'm glad Cindy was able to answer that for you. And it's a very important technique to learn as well as CPR. Let me break with you now, Scott, and let me pick up Kathy, K6SUN. Kathy, come back aboard.
All right, thank you, Suzanne, once again. You know, I often in the morning take a vitamin, and this vitamin is really long, and it gets lodged, but I'm usually able to get it up. I've never choked on it. But if I recall from the training I had, a child is done differently, and I think Cindy talked about that. It's not actually going behind the person and grabbing hold of them. I think it is a bent over, like a young child, a baby, a child maybe is only 5 years old. So maybe you can just repeat that for us. If I recall, it's usually done a little bit differently, but maybe Cindy can just clarify that for me and for everyone listening. And thanks for picking me up once again. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to you, Suzanne.
Hi, Kathy. Yes, actually, we did cover that briefly. You would lay a child, you mentioned 5 years old, or a toddler, across your leg with their chin towards your knee and press on their back, do compressions from the back. So you're going to give a hard thrust on the back. It's not going to be a gentle pat, but a hard thrust against the pressure of your leg will push on the diaphragm and hopefully dislodge the object. With an infant, a small child under a year old, you would lay the child with their chin or face on your palm of your hand and their body and legs outstretched across your forearm, also supported on your leg, and do the same thing. Thrust to the back, we'll push towards the diaphragm, and we'll hopefully dislodge the object. I hope I described that correctly, I mean, so that you can understand it.
Did that cover it, Kathy?
Yes, it did. We at our school have something that's called the LAPP program, L-A-P-P. It's the babies. We have a lot of babies there with their mothers, and there is at times that is quite useful, I'm sure, with the nurse. She does that at times quite often. So I appreciate you sharing that with us and for everyone listening.
Well, thanks very much, Kathy, for your questions. And, it's very interesting stuff tonight. And it's also good that people are asking questions because it covers stuff that Cindy and I may not be having thought of tonight. But with that said, let me break with you. And now let's talk about actually doing CPR. What is involved in learning CPR and getting your certification, Cindy?
to get your certification, you have to take a course, which we're going to do, which covers course material, and then there's a practical exam as well, so you will demonstrate that you know the steps to CPR.
Okay, Cindy's going to read through the basic steps of what we're going to do in CPR. In a little while, we're actually going to do the practical part because we've got the dummies here.
That's my buddy. Yeah. My buddy. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we got Buddy here and yeah. actually
and Junior.
And Junior here.
And Baby.
And Baby. Okay, Cindy, go ahead.
Okay. First and foremost, if you walk into the room and you happen to see a victim on the floor, you check the scene for safety. You don't know what it is that caused them to be on the floor. You want to look around and check. Make sure that the scene is clear. Look up and down. Look all around. No wires, no water, nothing hazardous. Then, if you can, shake the victim on the shoulder and shout to see if they're okay. You have to be loud. You have to be strong. Are you okay? Are you all right? If the victim does not respond and the victim is not breathing or not breathing normally, yell for someone to call 911 and get an AED if available. So those are the first basic steps.
Okay.
And someone who is not breathing normally, they may be gasping, they may be snoring. Snoring is actually, when someone is unconscious on the floor, it's actually a sign of cardiac arrest.
Oh, okay.
So don't just walk in and say, oh, Stevie's taking a nap again, because it could actually be signs of a cardiac arrest.
I didn't know that.
Okay, very important. So if you're alone, call 911 first and get an AED machine if available. If no AED is available, immediately start your CPR, beginning with compressions.
Very good.
And therein is the new change. The 2011 new criteria starts with compressions first. We used to start with rescue breathing. Now we start with the compressions first.
All right, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back with that. All right, Cindy, now let's go through what the different parts of the CPR are the compressions, the airway, and the breathing.
Exactly. That's called CAB. So C stands for compressions. What you need to do is push hard and fast on the center of the chest 30 times. That's 30 chest compressions at a rate of at least 100 compressions per minute. Now, I know a lot of people have heard this before. That's actually pretty fast when you think about it. So if we can just tap it out, is there something that we can tap with so that you can hear it? It's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's really quick. It's a very, very quick tempo. So very important to remember, your compressions start first. Push hard and fast on the center of the chest 30 times at the rate of at least 100 compressions per minute. I'm sorry. And one small little thing is they say that you can do it to the beat of Staying Alive. You know Staying Alive? You're a 70s girl, right?
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that. I had that whole album. So that's, and that is actually
that's
true.
The Bee Gees.
Yes, the Bee Gees, if you need to know. So it's staying alive, staying alive, So it's actually a pretty quick tempo. So if you can remember that in an emergency, I want you working on me, okay? And if you haven't been trained in CPR, just continue to give compressions until help arrives or until an AED machine arrives.
Okay, very good.
Okay. The A in the CAB is airway. If you have been trained in CPR, you're going to continue your compressions, CPR, and then open the airway, tilt the head, lift the chin, and begin your breathing.
Okay.
The B in the CAB is the breathing. You're going to pinch the victim's nose closed, take a normal breath, and cover the victim's mouth with your mouth, creating an airtight seal. Give 2 breaths, 1 second each. Watch for the chest to rise as you give each breath, and then you give your second set of 30 compressions and 2 breaths, until the AED arrives or until help takes over.
All right, and you're going to do that 5 times? Is that
yes,
the sequence?
Yes, 5 compressions, 2 rescue breaths.
Okay,
yep.
And after that, is there anything that we stop or we just keep going or someone takes over?
Exactly, until help arrives or someone takes over, you have to continue.
All right. Okay, let me open up to the floor now and see if there's any questions out there before we actually start our CPR on the dummy. If you have any questions, please come aboard now with your suffix only, please.
6, Victor. Thank you, Susie. Cindy, just a real quick question. When you're getting recertified, you've been through this Chinese fire and boat drill before. Is the written exam required on recertification also? I mean, are you really taking the whole exam over again or what, Cindy? Over.
Yes, Gordon. Actually, you are, because there is new criteria for 2011. They have updated their information. So, yes, you would have to take the whole exam all over again. But there's actually not a written exam for it. You are graded and given credit points, you pass or fail, by the instructor during your practical exam. So there is actually no written exam for the American Heart Association certification.
Oh, that's very interesting to know. Thank you very much, Cindy. Back to you, Suze, KY6B.
And Gordon, if you're still there, you know, you can actually certify online. You can watch a DVD through the American Heart Association that covers all aspects of the CPR if you're interested in adult and children and infant. And then you can go to your local American Heart Association residence and take your practical exam and get your card that way as well. So for some people that are pressed for time, if you really can just walk in the door, demonstrate your skills on the mannequin, and you're done. So it's not a 3 or 4 hour course.
Right. So you can do everything online except for the practical.
Exactly.
You have to do the dummy in person.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right. Good enough. How's that, Gordon? Answer your question?
It sure does. And boy, that's interesting on the online. Is there any charge to the online activity, or is that free? Over.
Yes, there is a charge for online, and I believe it's, you know, right in line with what you would pay if you go to the facility and do the whole thing there. But it's basically watching the DVDs. It shows demonstrations, and then you go and take the test at the facility.
Well, thank you, Cindy, and thank you, Gordon, for your question. And now we'll break here a little bit, and we'll break with you and see if anyone else has any questions before we move along. Please come aboard with your suffix, please, if you'd like to ask any additional questions.
KJ4WKD, this may or may not be an appropriate time to ask, but maybe a good time before you actually start the with a dummy. But I'm interested in something that just came to mind. I was certified a couple of times, different times, but long before these changes were made, so I would certainly need to restudy and recertify. But I'm thinking if you're, yes, say your certification runs out or whatever, and you really are in a position where you need to administer CPR, I'm wondering, and I've heard of something called a Good Samaritan law, I'm wondering what the liabilities are for a person who administers CPR, whether or not that person is certified. Even if you're certified, you know, you might be accused of doing something incorrectly. But Susie or Cindy, could you help me with that one? This is KJ4WKD, back in net control.
Yeah, Jim, you know, the Good Samaritan law actually protects the rescuer. So if you had some training at some point, and again, it's as simple as call 911, press hard and fast. You're not attempting to do harm to someone. I think that anyone in that situation, their heart is not beating, they're not breathing, they're basically dead, and you're attempting to do CPR. No, that's what the Good Samaritan law is for, regardless of whether or not you have training. So if you are certified, you know, it's just an attempt to resuscitate. So, no, so definitely you would be covered, and I would appreciate if you were to attempt to resuscitate me, whether or not you had a card in your pocket or not.
Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Jim, for the question. Really good question. And Good Samaritan law, we all want to learn about that. And Cindy and I had actually talked about that a little bit when she was here before the net started. Anyone else have any questions for Cindy before we move along?
Lima Charlie Bravo.
Net recognizes Lima Charlie Bravo. George, come on ahead.
Great day. Let's see, I got to work with some speakers there. I wanted to follow up on Jim's question there. You know, I do believe we're covered under the Good Samaritan law. But now, getting back to the defibrillator there, once you decide to use that there, you know, I think, I don't think that law might would cover that because, you know, that seems like that's a whole new appeal altogether. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, you know, George, the AED machines are set up so that they will not administer an electric shock unless there is no heartbeat indicated. you know, so you really can't make a mistake with it. It will not shock the person if it's not called for. So I think that you would be covered there. It will shock if it's necessary, and it won't if it's not.
Yes, good evening to everybody on the net. This is Kilo Bravo 3, Victor Yankee Delta. Name here is Brandon. Happen to be a nurse going on 20 years now. And the AED machine is not designed to reinitiate the heart if it's in full cardiac arrest. The AED is designed to shock the heart back into a normal rhythm so the heart can beat normally, which means the heart would already have to be beating, but just not in a rhythm that is conducive to life. So it's not designed to, like you see on TV, where they go, you know, clear and they shock the person, and the body jumps and the heart starts beating again. That's not what it's designed to do.
Yeah, no, I realize that. I think you're thinking, you know, we realize there's a difference between this battery-powered automated defibrillator compared to what you see on ER, where the person is on the table and they're like clear and they're screaming and the body jumps off. We do realize that there's a difference there.
So thanks, Brandon, for your question and your comment. All right, now that it seems like everybody's quieted down a little bit with their questions, let's get on to CPR. Okay, Cindy, let me take a break here real quick, and then we'll get organized here, and we'll come right back. Yeah. All right, Cindy, go right ahead.
Okay.
I'm yours.
All right, Suzanne, I just want to reiterate, and I'm going to question you a little bit. So if I poke you, since no one can see, it means it's important information. I need for you to remember it, okay?
All right.
All right, so when we start with compressions, how many compressions do you want to give?
I want to give 30 compressions.
There you go. Very good. And a rate of at least how many compressions per minute?
100 compressions per minute.
Absolutely. And how many inches deep?
2 inches.
2 inches deep. Thank you very much. How many compressions?
30 compressions.
Yep. And
100 compressions
there
per minute.
Go. 30 times at a rate of 100 compressions per minute. Alrighty. Okay, so you want to move on? I think we're going to do a little demonstration here.
All right. Well, are we moving the dummy onto the table?
I believe we're bringing up Buddy. Keep calling him dummy. We're going to have a problem.
All right. Hold on a second. We're moving the dummy on the table. I mean Buddy. We'll be right back. Okay, Buddy is getting on the table.
He is on the table. All right, Suzanne, you walk into the room, and you see a victim on the floor. It's Buddy. What do you do?
All right, first I check the scene to make sure that it's safe.
Absolutely.
No electro wires, water, anything. If the scene is safe, then I'm going to call somebody. Call 911. Get an AED machine.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
Next step, I'm going to come over to Buddy, and I'm going to start my compressions room.
Actually, you should check first, so let's start at the top.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
There you go. You're going to check and make sure the scene is safe, and then call out to the person, Buddy, are you okay? What are you doing? Maybe he's just taking a nap.
Right.
Okay.
Buddy, you're all right?
Yes. Shake him, shout, see if they're okay.
Buddy,
now
buddy.
There's no response. Now
okay.
What do you do?
All right. I'm going to go call 911.
Loud and clear. Get back to me. Call 911 and get back to me.
Right.
Get me an AED machine.
Exactly.
There you go.
Right.
Okay. So if you're alone, what should you do?
I'm going to call 911.
Yourself.
And get an AED if it's available.
There you go.
And if no one is available, I'm going to immediately start CPR.
Yes, there you go. All
right.
So you're going to start with compressions. Your hands first, if you can open his shirt, if you can clear away the clothing,
right.
That's a good idea.
Open his
shirt.
There
you go. Nice. Snap, snap. All righty. Take one hand, put it right there on the breastbone, and you're going to start your compressions. Let's hear.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30.
Very good. Now, if you've been trained in CPR, you're going to check the airway. You're going to tilt his head back.
Okay.
Lift the chin. There you go. Perfect. One hand is on the forehead. Fingers are underneath the chin. Look in and see. Nothing in there.
Nothing.
Check
in
the breathing. Nothing. Okay, so you're going to pinch the victim's nose closed.
Okay.
Take a normal breath. Cover the victim's mouth with your mouth, creating an airtight seal. Give 2 breaths, 1 second each. Watch to see if the chest rises. Woo! Yes, it does. Nice job. 2. Very good.
Excellent.
And I'm going to continue compressions. 1, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Very good. Tilt, lift, pinch the nose, watch for compression. Very good. 1 second, normal breath. Nicely done. And one more round of compressions.
Staying alive.
All right.
Very good.
All right, let's take a break here for a second before we lose the computer. All right, Cindy, what's next?
That's that simple. We're going to try a demonstration on the child.
Okay, we're going to switch dummies to the child.
Yep.
I'm sorry, buddy. This is little Junior.
All right.
Little buddy Junior. All righty. All right, Junior is out.
All righty. So, you walk into the room.
All right.
Junior's on the floor. What are you going to do?
All right, and make sure the scene is safe.
Yep.
Shake the victim's shoulders.
Call out first. Yeah.
Hey, are you all right?
Okay.
All right.
If the victim does not respond and the victim is not breathing or breathing normally, what are you going
to
do?
I'm going to yell to somebody to call 911, get back to me, and get an AED if available.
There you go. Good girl. All right. And if you're alone?
I'm going to call 911 and get an AED if it's available.
There you go. No AED is available. You can immediately start CPR beginning with compression.
Right.
Now, with a child, your hands are in the same placement, right there under the breastbone.
Right.
There you go. 30 compressions, about 2 inches deep, 100 compressions, 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. 15, 16. Very good. Lift, tilt, pinch the nose, breathe. There you go. He does have lungs, you can actually feel, if you want to. Give me your bronchitis.
Yeah, he has bronchitis.
He does. There you go. It's not bad enough. He's not breathing. 3, 4. Very good. And continue with the breathing. Now, one thing I know that people are afraid that they're going to press too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can do damage, but it's better than being dead.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to press too deep.
And it's not unusual
hard.
To hear somebody.
Absolutely. It's not unusual to hear, yes, clicking cartilage,
right.
Bones, exactly.
Okay,
yep. All righty. Do you need to click?
All right, we're going to drop for a second right here. All right,
very good. So, an adult and a child requires how many compressions?
30 compressions.
Okay, and at the rate of how many compressions per minute?
100 compressions per minute.
Yes, and you want to press down at least how many inches with each compression?
2 inches.
Very good. You're a good student.
Well, thank you, Cindy.
Yay.
Not that I haven't done this before, but... That's what recertification is all about.
Yeah.
Stay fine. And, you know, I encourage, seriously, get a pillow. You know, get a doll. Practice. Practice your skills often, and you'll be confident when the time comes, you'll be prepared.
Okay. Let's break here for a second and see if anybody would like to come aboard and ask any questions of Cindy or me while we have.
Lima, Charlie Bravo. Well, I guess, Miss Suzanne, you found out it was... Very taxing there, and especially if you happen to be tied up for a half hour with compression, so it's not a task to take lightly, but I'm quite sure once you get through the first couple reps and you can get a rhythm going, with your leaning forward and feeling that sternum go down to the point where you want it to go there, you learn how to keep from wearing yourself out. So, but what I wanted to mention that. Let me grab a nickel because, you know, I don't pay too much attention to time.
Well, thank you, George. Cindy wants to know if you were successful in your attempts.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've been doing CPR and quite a long time. You had mentioned there when you had noticed someone laying on the ground there, on the floor there, and when... you started ventilating the person. You know, sometimes it's good to look in that person's mouth there I've been through quite a few exams where they stuck something in the recessiannes out there and would throw you down on it. Always good to check the airway. Maybe something in there too. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Okay, next we're going to do
infant skills.
So we're going to get out the infant. And does the infant have a name, Cindy?
Baby Ann.
All right, Baby Ann.
I didn't name these people. They came to me with names.
All right.
So, if you come into the room and discover a child in distress, what you can do to check, rather than shake them on the shoulder or pat their shoulders, you're going to tap them gently on the toe. Tap, tap, tap. Just like that. Hold their heel in your hand and hit the bottom of their foot. Tap and shout. No response. So you're going to yell for help, send someone to phone 911.
Okay.
Look for no breathing or only gasping, signs of distressed breathing. All right? With two fingers, right on the breastbone this way, you want to stand.
Okay.
There you go. You're going to press down and give 30 compressions. This will be about an inch and a half deep.
Okay.
All right? That's the difference. 30 compressions.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30.
Very good. Then you're going to open the airway and give two breaths. So it's a tilt and a lift and give two breaths. She's kind of small. And I don't think she has her lungs in. There you go. Good. Look to see if the chest is rising. Very good. If you're alone and after five sets of 30 compressions and two breaths, take the child with you and call 911.
Okay.
All right, and then resume. It's the same thing. So 30 compressions, two rescue breaths. The only difference is it's a depth of an inch and a half compared to the 2-inch.
Okay. All right, we're going to get the AED machine out now and demonstrate how that is, or demonstrate as much as we can over the air. But Cindy said we'll be able to hear it, and we'll be able to hear exactly what you will hear if you have an AED machine taken out. All right, we're going to not do the AED machine because we don't have it in the go bag today.
I'm
so
sorry.
Cindy says
I took it out and checked it, and I'm sorry, I don't have it.
All right, well, we'll have a makeup session with the AED machine. Now Cindy will have to come back. But all right, let's go on with our program then. And I guess the next is the testing.
All right, actually, your actual testing, exactly. All so right. We're going to review our steps one more time verbally,
okay.
And then I'd like you to do the practical exam, okay?
All right.
So, you walk into the room, and Buddy's on the floor.
Oh, gosh, Buddy again. He's always on the floor.
He is. What are you going to do?
All right, first I'm going to make sure the scene is safe.
Okay.
All right, then I'm going to shake the victim's shoulders and shout to see if Buddy's awake. Buddy, Buddy, you awake? You awake?
No response.
Okay. I'm going to yell for someone to call 911 and get an AED machine, if available.
Okay.
All right. Now,
if you're trained in CPR.
Okay. If I'm trained in CPR, I immediately
start
with the
compressions.
Yep. Right.
And so how many compressions are you going to do?
All right, I'm going to do 30 compressions.
Okay. At a rate of how many?
100 compressions per minute.
Okay. And how deep do you want your compressions to be?
For an adult and a child, 2 inches.
Very
for an
good.
Infant, 1.5 inches.
There we go. Good girl. All righty. So let's begin.
All right.
Press hard and fast. Very good. One second breath, watching for chest rise. Very
right.
Good. Compressions. Good. Two rescue breaths. All right, and one more round. You have to do three for certification.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. All right,
very good.
All right.
Thank you. And what's next in the certification?
That would be it, because we don't have the AED machine.
Okay, the AED would have been next.
Yep.
All right. And how do we do here then?
We do well.
Excellent.
You have to open the airway. Yeah, you did. You're right down the line. Check the breathing. 5 seconds. Give 2 breaths.
Okay, good. This is N1SUZ, and this is TNT Open Forum tonight. And we were talking to Cindy Cazavecchia, a CPR-certified trainer with American Heart Association. And our program tonight is Saving Lives. And I just got recertified. Well, while Cindy's going to run out to the car for a second and see if that AED machine is actually in the car. So in the meantime, let me ask if there's any questions that I can answer and anything that you'd like to know while Cindy's out there checking it and that we can discuss. This is TNT, as I said, and this is CPR. And I brought Cindy out here tonight because I thought CPR was an interesting and important thing to learn. And as George said, he saved lives. And I wonder if anybody else out there has used CPR before. So please come aboard now and with any comments and questions.
Six, Victor. Maybe I should have waited until Cindy came back from the car with the AED machine. But possibly you can help me with this. I'm a little confused on the rate of the CPR. I understand it's at the rate of the requirement is 100 times a minute at intervals of 30 per section. But the musician here is bothering me. You know, I'm quite a bit into music. And I heard you counting off there in the background, and I mean, you were going like crazy. I mean, you were paying 32nd notes instead of 16ths or 8ths. And if that was 100 beats a second, I really lost my hearing as far as music is concerned. So the question is this. How does a normal, average person put into their mind something simple that says this is the rate it should be? Like, what were you saying something earlier? Ha, 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 stay alive or something. But there's got to be something that a person can put in their mind because they're not going to have time to be watching their clock. Over.
All right, Gordon. Cindy's back. We can't find the AED machine, but she'll come back another time and do that. And yes, Gordon, she heard the question, and I'm going to let her feel that question. Cindy?
Yeah, Gordon, it's a minimum of 100 compressions per minute, and the general rule of thumb, it's just a little easy way for people to remember. If you're familiar with the Bee Gees song, Stayin' Alive, that has the perfect beat to follow. So it would be, ha, 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 stayin' alive, stayin' alive, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But for the general public and for people that are not musicians like myself, can't believe I just sang on the radio, you push hard and fast, push hard and fast. It's a minimum of 23 compressions in a minute. So that's the minimum.
And
it should be greater than. Faster is better than slower, absolutely.
Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, let me ask you this, Cindy. Can you go too fast? Over.
No, sir, you cannot go too fast. Faster is better than slower. And really, ideally, if you can, you know, you really don't want 2 seconds to lapse in between compressions. Not faster. No, you can't ever go too fast. No.
Okay, I think that's the key right there. Thank you, ladies. Back to you, Suzanne, KY6B.
Well, thank you, Gordon, for the question. It was a great question. And yes, and it's good also to say those numbers out loud. That's what we were always taught. To say those numbers out loud, your compressions, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you remember where you are and how you're doing it. So let me break here for a second and let me ask if there's any other questions or comments that anyone would like to make of Cindy or myself.
Victor, Queen Victor. Another question for Cindy out there, and I think I got this right. If you're, let's say that you're alone with a friend, and you know, at opposite ends of the couch, and the friend suddenly leans over with all symptoms of a heart attack. Now, you I think the first thing to do is call 911. I'm not sure I got it right. But I was thinking if after that you make sure that the house is open for the emergency worker to get in, you get them flat on the floor and you start the procedure. But after a couple of minutes of doing that 100 times a minute, maybe there would be I would need to have some oxygen too, and so I would really welcome the appearance of the emergency medical people. Is that a fair way to put it? KB3 Victor Quebec Victor Kristen Philadelphia.
Yes, I do understand what you're saying. So in that scenario, let's just put ourselves in that scenario. You're sitting on the couch across from a friend, and all of a sudden they grab onto their chest, they roll to the floor, they're gasping, they stop breathing. You're stuck. What do? Immediately start compressions. Immediately start compressions. Press hard and fast. If you know rescue breathing, you'll do 30 compressions. Do 2 rescue breaths. Do 5 series of this. See, this is where Suzanne was right. It's a lot of numbers involved unless you practice. I encourage people to practice. Take a pillow, take a dowel, practice, practice, practice. But your friend falls to the floor, immediately begin compressions. You'll do 5 rounds of compressions before you leave to get the phone. That's going to give them their best chance of survival. Studies have shown it over and over again. So with the phone in hand, you may run to the door, open the door, unlock the door, whatever, and they're going to have questions for you, so obviously you can't continue CPR. If you can, if you have a hands-free phone, by all means, call 911, put the phone next to you, begin compressions again. It's your best hope of survival.
All right, back to you, Chris.
Great, great answer. Boy, that was so specific. That was terrific. And again, the whole idea, I guess, is to keep the blood moving, and then you have to get, you know, backup help on the way, but you got to start it sooner rather than later. What a great answer. Thank you. KB3 Victor, Queen Victor.
Well, thank you, Chris, for the comments and the question, too, because that's what Cindy's here for, to answer those questions of those situations that we'll get ourselves into sometimes. And it's good to have that advice ahead of time. And maybe sometime we'll be thinking back at this conversation that we've had with her in a certain situation.
I hope so. Absolutely.
Exactly. So let me break with you and see if anybody else would like to make any comments or any questions for Cindy as we wind down our CPR Saves Lives TNT tonight.
Sierra United, November. Well, thank you once again, Suzanne. I remember back to my training. It's been a couple of years, but didn't have the BGs to do the music. We always did, I think it was 1-1000, 1-1-2000. You know, we did it that way. But I'd like maybe Cindy to talk about the brain and how long it takes for the brain to become dead. If you don't do the compressions and the CPR, and that person is without oxygen for so long, that brain becomes dead and they became, you know, pretty much brain dead. And I think if I remember in my training, it was, I don't know if it was 10 seconds or what it was. So it is very vital that you get to that person who may be unconscious and their brain may be dead. So maybe Cindy and Suzanne, you can talk about that just a little bit, and I may be wrong on the seconds, but I think that's very vital for everyone to know that if that brain becomes dead, you know, they're pretty much gone, and it's very vital that we get them their brain active again. So maybe you can talk about that.
Kathy, I don't know about oxygen to the brain and the amount of time, but I do know. I think we covered briefly earlier in our session, just like you can hold your breath for a minute or two without having brain damage, victims of cardiac arrest can go a minute or two without taking a breath. But the victim really needs for that oxygenated blood to get flowing again. So when a rescuer is worried about opening the airway and they don't want to do the adequate seal and possibly looking for a mask in their purse, that extra time is really a delay, and it can be significant. So it's just as soon as possible, start compressions. If you know your rescue breathing, start your rescue breathing and try to keep that blood pumping. But I'm sorry, I don't know the actual time I don't know.
Back to you, Kathy.
All right. Thank you, Cindy and Suzanne, for that. And I do want to go probably, maybe I'll go back and do the training online, but you didn't let me know the cost. I think when I took the training, I took it at Vero Beach at the Red Cross. I took the actual physical training and then a practicum. You know, I took the physics exam. So maybe you can tell us and the listeners what it costs to do it online. Suzanne and Cindy, maybe you have that information.
Yes, Kathy, thank you for your question. Actually, I believe that the prices vary where you are in the state. The average price for, and it depends on what you want. You can do adult CPR, you can do adult and children CPR, you can do adult, children, and infant CPR plus the AED machine. You can do adult, infant CPR plus the AED machine plus first aid. So it's all variable based on those things. But I think an average, I would say a good guess is probably $75. I actually charge a little less than that because I'm so passionate about it and I enjoy it. But yeah, I would say probably $60 to $75. How about that?
BQV with a final question.
Where Cindy and I work, we were offered the course and we're certified for free. So it depends on where you work, too. You can also have that opportunity. So let me break here and let me pick up Chris. I think I heard Chris. Chris, VQV, come on aboard.
Thank you, Net Control. There is a question screaming to be asked. You said that you went through, and we heard it, you know, moment by moment, with the dummy. How did the dummy come out at the end?
Well, you know what? That dummy is still kicking.
I couldn't get him back in the bag, put it that way.
Yeah, he didn't want to go back in the bag, but I think he has a little case of bronchitis.
Oh, man, thank you.
So nobody can use that dummy till it's alcohol wiped.
Buddy,
I'm sorry, buddy. But thanks for asking, Chris. Yep, the dummy, buddy survived.
So did
all the kids here tonight. And not only that, but I am recertified, except for my AED, which we'll do at a later point in time.
Yeah,
so,
I would love to come back.
Excellent. And Cindy said she would come back.
Yeah.
She had a lot of fun tonight.
I did.
And she's impressed with the ham radio.
I am.
Which she could be a ham radio operator.
Cool. No, I'm just a ham.
A ham at heart. And let me ask you one final question,
yes.
Cindy. Where can you find out more information about CPR?
You can look on the web, of course, and you can go to your local American Heart Association or Red Cross to learn where you can take a class.
Oh, very good. And any final words to our captive audience, Cindy?
Just thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that someone was able to learn something. I hope you had your pillow and you practiced along, and I hope you can save a life someday.
Well, thank you again, Cindy. I want to thank you for your time and knowledge tonight, and we all appreciate it. Now I'd like to send the floor back to my backup tonight, which is Jim, KJ4WKD, and for his closing remark. Jim, take it away.
Thanks, Susie. KJ4WKD here. I have no real closing remarks, but I will say to you, Susie, thank you for bringing this program to us. It's a public service, which is a tradition in ham radio, and a really fine job on your part and a very excellent job on Cindy's part. And Cindy, we really, really appreciate your being with us tonight. With that, we've brought it to an end, and we'll go ahead at this point and close the net and say that this has been SouthCar, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VOIP, net schedules, and general information may be found on our website, which is voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been Jim, KJ4WKD, with Susie, N1SUZ, and as moderator and host with her guest, Cindy Casabecchia, the Red Cross certified CPR trainer. Thanks, ladies, for all you did tonight, and 73 to everyone. The net is now closed, and the servers and repeaters are returned to normal amateur use. 73.